And Amanda, where's Amanda sitting at? You sound fantastic, girl. In fact, all of our praise team that gets up here every week does a fantastic job. So let's just thank God for them. I appreciate that they get up here and lead us before the throne every week. But I, for one, take great solace in the verse that talks about making a joyful noise. Because noise applies to how I sound. But it doesn't matter to God, I don't think. And Amanda, I'll make a little confession. This might even go back to before I was married. But when I first started in the ministry, I went to a conference with my dad in Oklahoma City. And it was put on by a very well-known preacher, teacher. I won't say who it was because I don't want to embarrass myself too much. But I really looked up to this guy and the way that he preached. And so there was a time where I would really try to mimic, or like you said, sound like him. And I went out and got me a sport coat that looked like the one he had and, you know, tried my best to be like him. And of course, you know, with some maturity and growing up, you realize, you know, God just calls you to be you and to serve him the way that you do. When I was a teenager and my parents had to go somewhere for a while, they would leave me with a list of things to do. Do you guys ever get that? No, never. I could make some sort of joke about today's generation, but my list of chores might look something like this. Do the dishes, vacuum the floors, take out the garbage, and fold the laundry. But like every other teenager, I had my own list of very important things that needed to be done. And so there were times that I would try to fulfill my parents' call just enough to get by, but still cut enough corners so that I could do all the things that I wanted to do. So I would wash the dishes, but I wouldn't dry or put them away. I would run the vacuum real quick over the open areas, but I didn't do the edges, and I certainly didn't move anything. I would take out the big garbage bag in the kitchen, but not all the little cans around the house. I'd fold the laundry, but I wouldn't put it away. Now, moms and dads, tell me something. Did my plan work? Were my parents satisfied with how I answered their call? No, of course not. They weren't happy. Mom and Dad would get home, and I would have to finish all of the stuff that I had left undone. And then I would get a big lecture about halfway obedience. That was usually from Mom. My dad was the preacher, but the best sermons always came from Mom. Isn't that right, Moms? But halfway obedience isn't unique to me. It isn't unique to teenagers. It's a part of the human condition. It's our sinful nature. And in our relationship with God, we are sometimes tempted to do the same thing. Last week, we looked at God's call to Abraham. And God called him to leave his hometown, his people, and his father's household. That is, his extended family. God was trying to remove Abraham from the moral influences of his old life and call him to something new. God wanted to build a special relationship with Abraham and a special relationship with his offspring because through them, he was trying to build a new people and a new plan and a new purpose. And what he was doing was he was preparing the world for Jesus. Because one day, Jesus would pay the price for all of our sins. And through Jesus, God would call all people so that they could have a relationship with him. And so God calls Abraham to take a journey. And it's a physical journey. He is to go from Ur to Canaan. But most importantly, it's a journey of faith. He has to learn to trust in God's provision, God's protection, and God's promises. And in this, it's the same journey that we are all called on today to make. Like Abraham, We are called to go to the place that God wants us to be. Like Abraham, we are called to leave some things behind. Like Abraham, we are called sometimes into the unknown and the difficult. And sometimes we don't want to do all that God's called us to do. We are tempted to do like I did with my parents when I was younger and respond with halfway obedience. We cut corners. We compromise. We avoid going all the way. We hold back. But if we don't follow God's call fully, there is a danger that we would miss out on His promise. And we're going to see today two ways in Abraham's life that he fell into this trap of halfway obedience. And specifically, we're going to see what happens when we don't go all the way to where God has called us, and what happens when we don't leave behind everything God has called us to leave behind. There are consequences when we fail to follow God's call. But I also want you to see that we don't have to be done in just because we've made a wrong turn in our journey of faith, or just because we have stumbled and fallen. We don't have to be done in by that. That doesn't have to be the end of our journey. As I said last week, I want you to see that a flawed faith is not a failed faith. And Abraham provides the perfect example of this. Number one, Abraham didn't go all the way to where God called him to be. Open your Bibles to Genesis 11, 31 and 32. And if you're paying close attention, you're going to realize, hey, we're going backwards in the text. Because last week we were in chapter 12. But this will make sense in just a few moments. Genesis 11, 31 and 32 says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Now there's something going on here that we might miss if we're not paying attention. Chapter 11 ends with Abraham in Haran, and then chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, begins with the call of God. And you might get the impression that God did not call Abraham until after he was in Haran. But the first clue that something more is going on here comes in the verb tenses in verse 1 of chapter 12. Look at this verse. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Is that past tense or present tense? The Lord had said to Abram. You see, this is something God had already called Abraham to do. This doesn't come out in all your English translations, by the way. If you're using the English Standard Version, for instance, it's in the present tense. But there's a footnote there, and if you go down to the bottom of the page and look at the footnote, it tells you it was in the past tense. And this is significant, because it does tell us the call didn't come in Haran. It came earlier, while Abraham was still in Ur. And chapter 12, 1 through 4, is just a reminder of what God had already called Abraham to do. God's tapping him on the shoulder. Hey, buddy, I called you to do something. It's time to get a move on. God makes this very clear in Genesis chapter 15. You don't need to turn there. But in Genesis 15, God makes a covenant with Abraham. And in verse 7, God tells him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land and take possession of it. He called him out of Ur. In Acts 7, verse 2, the evangelist Stephen is speaking to the people. This is that sermon that when they got to the invitation time, they stoned him to death. All right, please don't do that at the end of the service today. But at the beginning of that sermon, Here's what Stephen says to them. He says, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran." So do you see what's going on here? God called Abraham while he was still living in Ur. And at first, it looks like Abraham's going to fulfill the call. He packs up, he leaves, and he goes. But not to Canaan. Genesis 11:31 says, "They set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan, but when they came to Haran, they settled there." They didn't reach their destination. Abraham's journey sputters and stops there in Haran. And let me give you kind of a picture of what's going on here, because this isn't really a big move. I don't know how well you can read this. Ur is down here, kind of lower right-hand corner. Haran's top middle. And you've got the Euphrates River that runs all along the way there. And so both of these cities are in the Euphrates River basin. It's a common culture. He would still be amongst the same kind of people. Put it in modern terms. The same chain restaurants would be down on the corner. He could still do his banking at the same bank. All right, he'd still be using the same money. But the reason they would go up to Haran instead of going kind of at a downward angle over here is because that's all a huge desert. And if they went up to Haran first, they still had to cut across the desert, but it was a much shorter section of desert. But while he was in Haran, all the same comforts, all the same conveniences, all the same temptations that he had living in Ur were still present. And what is the result? There is a delay. Bible scholars estimate that as many as 15 years passes before Abraham gets to moving again. And during those several years, there's no word from heaven. We see nothing of God's plan. There is no hint of God's promise. Nothing happens until Abraham follows God fully and goes. Now, do you suppose there are times in our own journeys of faith that God's plan for our lives comes to a complete standstill because we haven't gone to where He's called us to be? Are there times in your life where you wonder why you're not experiencing God's leading? You're not experiencing His provision, His protection. Maybe it's because somewhere in your journey of faith, you've stopped into a rest area and you haven't left. You're still there. It wasn't until Abraham turns his back on the comfort of the Euphrates River and he heads out into the desert wilderness, and he pushes beyond his own strength and ability, and he had to trust in God. The journey of faith requires that we stretch our trust in God. We stretch it beyond what we are capable of in our own strength, in our own ability. And I think too many of us are still living in our own personal Haran. We have followed God only to the edge of our comfort zone. Yeah, God, I'll follow You, but as soon as we get to that edge of what's comfortable, what's familiar, what's manageable, and what's safe, and then we think, I don't want to go any further than this. But here's the thing. When God calls you, He wants to call you to a place where you're no longer in control. And you have to trust that He's in control. Because as long as you're in that place where it's still familiar and manageable and safe and you have everything in control, you can still take the credit. You will never see God do what only God can do until you go to a place in your life where you have to trust in God to do it. Let me make a point of application here. It is not enough in our spiritual lives to make a good start. good start is not enough. The roadside of the journey of faith is littered with the wrecks of those who had a good start. They began with the best of intentions. They began with a furious flame of sincerity. They began with a good ministry. They began with a strong faith. They began with a faithful marriage. They began with their career. They began their career with hard work and integrity. They began with character and conviction. But something happened along the way. Like Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy chapter 1, their faith is shipwrecked. Like the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3, they've lost their first love. They haven't moved on from the elementary teachings. They haven't gone from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word, like in what is talked about in Hebrews 5 and 6. There is compromise. There is stagnation. A good start doesn't mean a good finish. Now, a good test for this is just to tell your spiritual story, what we used to call a testimony. Tell your story of your journey of faith, what God has done in your life, how you've experienced His working. And as you tell that story, when do the most compelling parts of your story stop? Do they continue right up to the present day? Or does the story of God working your life end 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years or more? But God hasn't really done much in your life since then. How have you responded to God's call recently? How have you experienced His protection and provision recently? How has God stretched your faith recently? How have you followed Him recently? Make sure in your journey of faith that you haven't stopped off at a rest area and you haven't left. When we put down stakes in our journey, we settle in and we grow comfortable with where we are. And when this happens spiritually, our faith weakens. It loses its edge. We stop trusting in God. We are to be spiritual pilgrims, always on the go, always moving, always following where God calls us to be. When we become residents, our faith becomes stagnant. Our churches become stagnant. We need to have the mentality that the Apostle Paul speaks about in his own life in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Here's what he says. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Does that sound like a life that's come to a standstill? Does that sound like a life where I'm just going to sit here for a while and take it easy? No. That's somebody that's always moving on because God has called him heavenward. So the first way he fell into this trap is that he didn't go all the way to where God called him to be. Second way Abraham fell into this trap, Abraham didn't leave everything he was called to leave behind. Look at verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 1 again. What was Abraham supposed to leave? His country, his people, and his father's household. Now, I might be wrong here, but I think father's household includes father. Doesn't it? Am I right? But look at chapter 11, verse 31. Who is it that left? Terah, that's Abraham's daddy right there, took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur. Was that full obedience to God's call? Absolutely not. And I believe Abraham's father, Terah, is the main reason that Abraham only made it as far as Haran. Genesis 11:31 even says it was Terah who took Abraham to Haran. God didn't call Terah. God called Abraham. It should have been Abraham leaving without his dad along for the ride. We can only imagine how that conversation went. Say what again, Abe? Who wants you to go where? You've got to be kidding me. That's clear across the desert. We got no idea what's over there. We have no idea what those people are like. We'd have to start over. I tell you what, Abe. I'll make you a deal. We'll all go together, and we'll go as far as Haran. I mean, you've got to go to Haran anyway. That's where the caravans head across the desert. So we'll go that far, and then we'll just see what happens. We'll see how it plays out, okay? And Abraham never set one foot closer to the promised land until his dad died. And Abraham's failure to follow God fully led to much delay in God's plan and promise. When we don't leave behind everything that God has called us to leave behind, we don't go to where God has called us to be. Do you see how this one led to the other problem? It was because Abraham didn't leave his dad behind that he ran into the next problem, that he didn't go to where God called him to be. There's a basic principle at work here. One thing leads to another. One act of disobedience leads to another act of disobedience. And it begins to spiral out of control. Now, there are some of us here this morning that are bringing some stuff along in our spiritual journeys that we shouldn't be bringing with us. We're bringing along some relationships that we shouldn't, or at least some relationships that should dramatically change. We're bringing along some attitudes that we won't let the Holy Spirit come in and do His thing on. Instead, we say things like, well, this is just the way I am. You're going to have to get used to it. Some of us are bringing along some dreams and hopes and expectations that belong to the old you. And you're never going to realize the hopes and dreams and expectations that God has in mind for the new you until you leave the old ones behind. And some of us stopped moving spiritually a long time ago. For you, it isn't a journey of faith, it's a pit stop of faith. And you've never left. You're afraid of leaving your comfort zone. You're afraid of what God might call you to do, and so you stay put. And I understand that fear. I've been there. I've had those conversations with God. I remember I tried to make a bargain with God. I've told you this before, but I remember telling God, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I just don't want to be a preacher. You see who won that argument. But here's the thing. I never realized God's plan and promise for my life until I left the comfortable place I was and went to where God wanted me to be. And I remember that Sunday at my home church, where I went forward at the end of my dad's sermon. And I told my mom and my dad, the elders of my church and the whole congregation, God's calling me into the ministry. I'm going to go where God called me to be. That's a scary thing to do. I grew up as a preacher's kid, and I said, there's no way I'm doing that. I've had habits I didn't want to leave behind. I've had attitudes I didn't want to leave behind. I've had some pain and hurt and some grudges that I didn't want to leave behind. I've had sin I didn't want to leave behind. But I couldn't be where God wanted me to be until I trusted Him, followed Him, and left all those things in my rearview mirror. So my encouragement to you this morning is don't give up and don't quit. Even if you've taken a wrong turn, even if you have stumbled and fallen, don't give up. told you earlier that a flawed faith is not a failed faith. And I am so glad that God put Abraham's full story here. It's one of those things that assures me that the Christian faith is authentic and real. I mean, Islam won't say anything bad about Muhammad. But one of the things about the Bible is that it shows you its heroes of faith with all of their flaws right out there in the open. It doesn't hide anything. It doesn't beat around the bush. Noah had a problem with alcohol. Jacob deceived his father. David was an adulterer and a murderer, as well as being a man after God's own heart. Peter denied Jesus. James and John had problems controlling their temper. Paul is what today we would have called a religious terrorist. And Genesis does not give us a highly polished, airbrushed view of Abraham. It shows us all of his flaws in high definition detail. And I'm glad it does. Because I've got flaws. I've got mistakes. Abraham was the first to make the journey of faith, but it wasn't a perfect journey. And I want you to notice here that there are some things that give us some hope. And one of those things that gives us hope is notice God's grace and patience at work here. I don't know how many of us would have the patience to wait 15 years. God could have said, "That's it, Abraham, I am done with you. You didn't work out. Nice try, but I'm sorry. You only made it halfway." But that's not what he did. Know that God is understanding of your personal struggles and your weaknesses. Just as he was with Abraham, know that God waits with you. He endures your mistakes, yet he still works his plan. And he lets you learn some lessons the hard way, and he uses them to further his plan. I also want you to notice this is a second reason for hope, although we may not think so at the time, and that is this: God disciplines those he loves. God lets you face the consequences. God lets you deal with the difficulties because of the dumb things you do. And that's a good thing. It means he loves you. It means that he wants to correct what's going on. It means that he's not giving up on you yet. There were consequences and difficulties Abraham faced because he did not follow God fully. We've already seen the delay that happened. The biggest consequences probably come with what Abraham goes through with his nephew Lot. That's a whole sermon in and of itself. We'll get to that point later in the story. But Lot had come along when Dad came along, and it causes all sorts of problems. God is a God of grace. He is patient and gentle with us. But he's not an enabling heavenly father. He doesn't make excuses for our sin. He doesn't pretend that it doesn't matter. He lets us face the consequences of our choices. That being said, I can't finish without saying this, and this is our third reason for hope. It is never too late to start following God fully. Even if you have ignored his call for years, you can start following him fully. Right now, right here, today, this morning. Whatever it is that God is calling you in, you can respond. You can answer. You can go. Whatever it is that he's calling you to leave behind, you can leave it behind. You can make the first step today, this morning. And so as we close, I want to ask you this question. Can you hear him calling? Are you listening? The praise team is going to come up and lead us in our song of invitation and commitment. And if you hear God calling you today to make a step in your spiritual journey, you can respond to that call. Maybe for you that means coming forward up here and asking for prayer, spending some time in prayer here at our prayer bench. Maybe it means responding to His call for the very first time in your life and giving your life to Him and being baptized into Christ. Maybe it means becoming a part of our church family. Realizing that this spiritual journey you're on is not a journey you need to make alone, but it's a journey you need to make with brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're all in this together. Maybe your call is something that you might say, well, it's smaller than that. It might seem like a small thing to you, but if God's calling you to it, it's a big thing. You need to answer that call. Please stand as we sing.